Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on RenegadeRadio.com. Also, Spotify, iTunes, Deezer, Stitcher, TuneIn, all sorts of places. YouTube, as you see my smiling face. I'm Dark Mark, the goth comedian. This is my show. And we're taping a half hour late because we're on heavy metal time. We're on heavy metal time. And today we've got... First off, let me hold on 1 second. I've got to figure out how to turn this camera around here. Hold on 1 second. I guess I got to shut it off. And if you're listening on audio, there we go. Okay, so I'm going to...
Oh, yeah.
You hate this. But
I hate this part.
But this is the best light. Isn't this the best light in the studio?
Overhead lighting's fabulous. I'm yes. Hannah Bach, the co-host.
Yes, Hannah Bach. Everybody's favorite heavy metal vegan DJ.
Yeah.
Or vegan heavy metal DJ, whatever you
want. Whatever, as long as they're both slammed in there.
Last week, and it's been a very musical month because we had Mortis on a few weeks ago.
We did.
And then we had House of Light last week, and they said you look like a prime Christina Applegate.
Yeah, my grandfather disagreed with that. He's like, what are they, blind?
But your grandfather's how old?
86.
So he's blind.
Partially.
So he's got cataracts. So what does he know?
All right.
Anyway, so we've got, once again, you know all the musicians in town and all the musicians coming to town because you have brought here, and I apologize for my YouTube viewers. We're going to go from beauty to the metal beast here.
All right.
There we go. There we go. That's a Ty Asegun.
Pseudagon.
A Pseudagon.
Like octagon, pentagon.
It's a Pseudagon. A Pseudagon?
Yeah.
Okay. And what nationality is that? We got to get that out straight.
Oh, yeah, dude. My dad, he's from Iran.
Okay.
So, you know, I love L.A. There's so many Iranians.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you're in the valley, too. So, yeah. You're right at home. Because I used to live in Tarzana, which is down the valleyway. Very, very Persian. For a lot of Persian.
Oh, shit. I don't have my gold chain. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, well, trust me. How long have you been in L.A.?
Like a few months.
Yeah, you'll get it. You'll get a gold chain. Anyway, so before we get started, we got a few sponsors to get to. I'm turning around. How do I look? Am I catching everything?
I bring it down a little bit.
Gotta bring it down a little bit.
A little bit more. A little bit more. Yeah.
Okay. You're playing good.
Right now. Yeah, I think Ty's trying to get the shot of my dick. But anyway,
a little bit lower.
No. Here's the thing. Audible. Now you're on the road. You like to listen to audiobooks.
Yeah.
You get a free audiobook. And you can get whatever you want. And I was looking at heavy metal today. They've got a history of the heavy metal. They've got a biography of Motorhead. They've got a biography of Van Halen. They've got all sorts of great books on metal. And two Audible originals, which you get that free as well. You get one book and two free Audible originals. I wish I remember what the great Audible original there was this month. There's one that I was... Oh, yes, there. I remember. There is a new science fiction book narrated by John Waters himself. You get that, any book you want, and another Audible original, and a 30-day free trial. Just go to audibletrial.com/DMS. Once again, audibletrial.com/DMS. Another Audible original you can get, they have an audiobook of the Alien Saga, Ripley Alien Saga. Rutger Hauer does one of the voices. That's one you can get as well. They got all sorts of whatever you're into. Smutty books.
I like that.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Smutty books.
Another of our sponsors, we visited last week.
Doomy's Home Cooking.
Doomy's Home Cooking. Well, since you're the vegan here, I'll put the camera back on you. How?
Hi.
We went after the show.
Uh-huh.
You and me and our engineer Morgan went to Doomy's Home Cooking.
We did.
We actually went to the next
Mex. Yeah.
Are you vegan? I'm looking at your physique. I'm guessing not.
No, dude. You know, man. You know.
Because we have a similar physique.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Doomy's Home Cooking has delicious, delicious food. We went to Doomy's Next Mex. Hashtag Doomy's Next Mex. And this is at...
It's on Vine Street.
No, but I know the... I should know the address by heart.
I should, too.
Jeez. I'm so... Anyway, let me tell you. They have vegan. We went to the Next Mex. I had vegan taquitos. She had the chili relleno. The carrot cake is, and this is the 1253 Vine Street, Hollywood, California, just down the street on Fountain and Vine. If you go to the other restaurant, they have chili cheese fries, some of the best you've ever had. They pulled pork sandwiches. We went there a few months ago. My friend and I were like, should we get the chicken parmesan sandwich or should we get the pulled pork sandwich? This is all vegan. We split it up. We had half and half. It's delicious. I had half of your chili cheese fries.
Yeah.
Delicious. They have a restaurant, 1253 Vine Street in Hollywood. They have one in Culver City now, in City Terrace.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're ever in Toronto, Canada, because I know that you're an international touring artist, they have a Doomy's Home Cooking in Toronto. The best vegan food you've ever had. They have shrimp po' boys. You love shrimp po' boys?
Oh, fuck yeah.
They got vegan shrimp po' boys. It's delicious. You would never know the difference. If I put it in front of you and said, there's a shrimp po' boy, you'd eat it up and say, that was fucking good. And I would say, no, that's vegan. And you're like, I don't care. That's still good. So do me some cooking. And it's delicious.
And healthy.
I didn't say it was healthy. I just said
the next mix is probably the healthiest. The other stuff is like junk food after the bar.
The flautas are the biggest flautas I ever had. I of anybody, whether it had meat, whatever. big flautas. Anyway, I might be cutting off my head here.
No, you're good.
All right, well. Okay.
Oh, wait, down a little bit. Down
now we
a
see
bit.
The top of your head.
Okay, hold on. I think I stopped the recording, too. I
That's
did.
Okay.
Okay. Here, another good shot of Hannah. Now another good shot of me. And there we go. Okay, it just came up. I think it's like falling my head. Because we have one more sponsor.
We do.
Yes, we do. Oh, you want to read it this week?
No. She likes the way you do it.
Okay, so you're a rock star.
He is.
So you've had experience with CBD oil.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one to get is Seven Leaves CBD. And use a promo code MOB for free shipping. And hopefully soon they'll have DMS for free shipping, but... Mm-hmm. Promo code MOB, M is Mary, O is an Oscar, B is a boy, free shipping. The website is sevenleavescbd.com. Why are they different? That's a good question that you never asked. Unique vapor extraction process. There are only two ingredients in their oil. It's organically Colorado-grown hemp and responsibly sourced organic MCT oil. Terpene-rich, embodied in blue myron grass. Blue Myron, I think I had too much CBD oil. Bottled in Blue Myron glass, which keeps the product potent and extends shelf life. Two different products, two different salves. Cayenne peppermint, which I use, which is as potent as you would think. Lavender calendula, which is what you have, and love lavender. They have tattoo spray. Amazing shit. Easy way to heal tattoos and help with pain. And pet CBD coming soon.
What?
I'm telling you.
My cousin, so support her. She's awesome. Mo Bach.
Right. That's another Bach. Now, Ty, I'm looking at you. I'm trying to see if you have tattoos.
I don't, man. Yeah.
You're like the one musician that does not have tattoos.
I'm open-minded to it.
Really? What's a tattoo that you were thinking of getting?
Like a panther head, but with like a knife going through.
Sure.
Which
symbolizes what?
I don't know. It just looks brutal.
Mm-hmm. Is it Pantera influence or just...
I love Pantera.
Yeah. But you Pantera. Put a knife through it, like, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's
blaming
true.
Phil for the Dimebag's death, that kind of thing.
I guess. I didn't think about it like that.
See, I'm overanalyzing your imaginary tattoos.
That'll be a good fucking one, though.
Yeah. So, first question, I guess I have to ask this of every musician that comes in here, except for Mortis, because who I knew. How did you meet Hannah?
This is a funny story.
Oh, yo.
Hannah, do you want to tell the story?
Yeah, okay. You
got to get on camera, though.
Hi. Yeah. I matched with his roommate on Tinder, and we just, like, exchanged a bunch of, like, endless text messages, and I was new to town. He's like, oh, maybe you should, like, talk to this chick Hannah. She's always at the Rainbow, and we actually met in person at my birthday.
Yeah.
He came down. So.
Same birthday thing.
Yeah.
Because House of Light, who was here last week, they met you on your birthday week.
Yeah, my pre-birthday.
She's meeting rock stars all over the place.
Yeah.
So you matched with his roommate on Tinder?
I did.
Oh, wait a second. You're in Redondo.
Uh-huh. I have it set for 30 miles, and I'm not going to date anybody in Redondo.
And they're
gross.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's all you're matching with.
Yeah, I mean, like, it wasn't like anything romantic, really. He was like, just, you know, he's new to town too.
It's
so
Tinder.
Like,
he just
pointers.
Wanted to fuck you, of course. It's Tinder. We got it. I love when people. I love swiping these profiles. Yeah, I'm not into hookups. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing here? It's Tinder.
I said I'm looking for like my metal loving other half. I'm looking for my metal soulmate, as I guess
Well, let me tell you something. You're going to find a bunch of guys that want to fuck you. That's what's going to happen.
Like, you match with my bass player, too.
I did not. I matched with his bass player.
Oh, wait a second.
Greg.
You're matching with the whole band?
Yeah, Greg's not here right now.
Yeah. Yeah, last night he was like, you Hannah? I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh, you're doing the merchandise for my band. I'm like, oh, well, small world.
Very nice. So, so you didn't go on a date with his roommate?
No.
You didn't go on a date with his bass player?
No.
Did you go on a date with him? Okay, anyway. We'll save that for, that's a yes. So, I matched with Hannah on Tinder as well.
We liked each other.
No, sure. I super liked her because I wanted her to give me feedback on my profile, which was not doing so well. And the profile, it looks great. And that hasn't really helped. So, anyway, how are you doing on Tinder? Are you single or you got a girlfriend?
No, I'm single and, no luck on Tinder.
Yeah, so so how did you talk Hannah into becoming the Birch Girl last night, the Whiskey A Go-Go? I missed your gig, but...
Oh, dude, it's all good, man.
I'm sure there'll be others.
I showed her the music, and she was like, it's not too awful, you know?
Well, no, I say you're metal, but you're really a blues-based hard rock band.
Yeah, totally.
Which is up Hannah's alley, I would say.
Yeah, last night.
Maybe not as metal as she normally goes for, but you know, it's still... good hard rock, so that's good.
Yeah, I sent you some videos too. They were really good last night.
Yeah, okay.
Nice. Yeah, I got a lot of feedback too on Instagram from my friends. So
yeah, and there's always room for it. So let's get off Tinder and
let's get off Tinder.
I'm sure we'll revisit it. Why don't you do metal date?
Because they're so gross. Have you ever been on a metal dating site? They're all a bunch of like 60-year-old like convict biker looking guys look like they'd been doing a meth for 30 years.
Who do you think is into metal?
Us? We have all our teeth. Come on, and we're not old.
That's who's into metal. You're at Rainbow.
I back me up. That is not true.
That's funny as hell though.
True, it's true. All the guys your age are into rap or into EDM.
Gross.
They're all going to
Can we just wipe them all out and start over?
Yeah. All you have to do is fuck a 60-year-old metal guy with no teeth. Ty, you're from Philly.
Yes, sir.
The home of Wood Ice.
Oh, yeah, Wooder.
Wood Ice. You know what Wood Ice is?
No, please explain.
Wood Ice is like...
Is it like an ice pop?
There is a Wood Ice. There is one here in L.A. I think it's in North Hollywood, actually.
Really?
Yeah. It's like Italian ice.
Okay.
In Philly, they call it water ice.
Is it because of the accent?
No. It's water ice. I'm pronouncing it water ice because that's the proper pronunciation.
Oh.
I work, and let me give her a shout out, Tiffany Davis, I work with, and she's from Philly.
Okay.
And she was telling us how great water ice is, and we got to check out water ice. And we're like, the fuck Rita's. Are you talking about? What? There's water, there's ice.
Yeah, everywhere, man. Everywhere. Rita's, I just go.
Yeah, they have a Rita's in North Hollywood. That's what, yeah.
What?
They do.
They do?
They do. They have a Rita's in NoHo. Yeah, I think it's in the, like, of the arts.
My mind.
There you go. Get some wood ice. But, so you were born in Philly?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, man.
I was going to say a good part of Philly, but there are some good parts of Philly.
Yeah, I learned that when I was driving Uber there.
you've never been to like the real nice, like where all the art galleries are and stuff. And
it goes like right to like Liberty North Bell. Philly. Yeah, exactly. You're at the Liberty Bell 1 minute, like la-di-da-di-da. Yeah. It's got a pretzel, and then it's just like. Bow, bow, bow.
Yeah. you're running up the stairs of the Rocky statue, and then. You're falling down the stairs with gunshots all over.
Exactly, yeah, just tumbling down.
Yeah. So I don't know how much you know about this guy, but very impressive. I'll tell you what I was the most impressed with.
Okay.
With you. And tell me if this is true or not, because this is it's said somewhere that you played with Buddy Guy.
Oh yeah,
I saw a
yeah.
picture of you with Buddy Guy. So you met Buddy Guy. I know that, and that's impressive.
Yeah,
Buddy Guy, the blues player.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that. I was like,
well, some people don't know. A lot of people don't know who Buddy Guy is.
I didn't know. That's why I wasn't.
You don't know who Buddy Guy is?
No, I wasn't being sarcastic. I was like, thanks for clearing that up. I was like, what am I?
You don't. Hannah really doesn't know who Buddy Guy is.
I don't.
Buddy Guy is. I mean, if you know the blues, this guy's like the last one standing. Like that was, you know, B.B. King. Mm-hmm. Muddy Waters.
Yeah.
Like, he's a little younger than them, but he's still alive.
Yeah.
And he's still going, and he's great. Jimi Hendrix always said that he stole his style from Buddy Guy because he's a very flashy player.
That's the crazy part, and he's still alive, and Hendrix got his thing from him, and he hopped on stage at his club a couple times when I played there, and he'll just come up there, and he'll just start, like, singing in the middle of your jam.
It's great.
And he'll just, like, take a vocal solo, and someone will buy him a shot, and he'll just, like, be like, now let me get high. And he just, like, goes into some, like, soulful phrase. Right? Yeah, and he just rages, just drinking a Heine.
So he lives in Philly?
Oh, Chicago. I tour a lot in
Chicago. Oh, okay.
I tour there a lot.
All right. That makes sense.
Fucking love it there. Yeah. He's
got Chicago and Philly are not that far, huh?
And it's similar vibe. Very similar vibe. Yeah.
So that's crazy. So, I mean, I was going to say that's cool, but that's kind of annoying, too. Like, that's like that's like your grandpa coming up and singing, like, that, you know, or, you know, on one of your gigs.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. So, you're getting ready to sing, and he just...
Just a real soulful
not even playing guitar, just kind of like,
yeah, no guitar, just like going up to somebody, just like, huh, let me get high,
doesn't know the song,
talk about getting laid and just talk about the booty. That's his style. He just talks about like booty and stuff.
That's great.
Yeah, and reefer.
Yeah. He's like, now they inspire Hendrix, apparently inspired Bob Marley and the Two Live Crew. I don't know. That's great, though. I mean, I saw a picture of you with him, and he looked pretty frail, but, man, he's still going. Raging.
Absolutely, bro.
Yeah. And so the very blues influence. So you
– Yeah.
When you started getting into music, I'm guessing as a teenager, like, who are you into?
Man, like, Jimi Hendrix, you know, like we were talking about before, had, like, the live, like, Woodstock.
Right.
And then, like, that led to, like, Zeppelin and, like, you know, Santana and other bands.
Right.
And then, you know, that just like morphs into like Thin Lizzy and Iron Maiden and Slayer.
Right.
It just keeps going.
Faster and faster and faster.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But you still keep that blues bass because you do solo blues albums. And
yeah, Ty Sudagon Band. We're going to Vegas next week. I'm doing a jam at Vamped, The Counts.
Oh, that's great.
Place. So, yeah, just like very mobile with that band. Going to Denver and
so you're just doing the blues thing there, or you're gonna do
Just like the blues thing, but Fast Ride's got another gig coming up.
Fast Ride.
Oh, that's all good. I haven't announced
it. I could have said Fast Way, which
We get that all the time. Dude, yeah. I love that because that's one of my favorite bands. Reminds me of Fast Way. I'm like, yeah, dude, Fast Eddie Clark's like,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah. You know Fast Way.
No. I thought you said Fast Lay. I was like, wait, what?
No, Fast. Fast Way.
60 seconds.
Fast Way. That was big in the 80s.
It's like Fast Eddie Clark from Motorhead, right. Beatway, UFO, Anton Fig. I can't remember him.
Right. Did you ever see the movie Trick or Treat?
Yes.
Yeah, they did the music for that.
What? Okay. Really?
yeah.
I didn't know. I'll
have to go back and rewatch it.
Yeah, yeah. They did like the theme. Maybe they didn't do all the music, but they did like the theme song, and they did. Because I know, I remember like the sound. I worked at a record store. My friend freaked out because the soundtrack came in, and he's like, "No way, Fast Way, Trick or Treat," and it's a whole thing.
That's dope.
Yeah. So, but it's a Fast Ride.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Which is good. Yeah. I mean, it's a good name. It just there's a lot of fast. Yeah, a lot of fast. So Jimi Hendrix, that's really, and you know, you do have a video on your Facebook page of you doing a Hendrix-y sort of thing.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I'm just still kind of like discovering.
Like how deep in the blues do you get? Because we're gonna get to the metal. We're gonna do it like we're gonna get louder and louder. And,
Faster. I like that.
Like how deep do you get?
I mean, dude.
Like, you know, did you listen to Buddy Guy before he went on stage? Like, I get high and get the pussy.
Yeah, I mean, I used to watch these, like, videos of him just, like, shredding on his knees and rolling around and just, like, being an animal.
Please, Hannah, when you get home, you know.
I will. And my grandfather will probably.
Look up Buddy Guy. Your grandfather probably partied with him.
No.
He probably partied in my grandpa's bar.
Yeah, probably.
Back in Pennsylvania.
Say, hey, Grandpa, do you know Buddy Guy?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think if you, you know, unlike shoegaze or other things that we're trying to get you to like, I think if you take it as it is, I think you'll really like it.
You know, I definitely respect the blues, so I don't have a problem with it, you know.
Right. So what other blues guys do you like?
I got the chance to see B.B. King.
Really? That's great.
I played with his band at his bar, like, after he died recently. It was, like, right before B.B. King's got, like, shut down.
Was that Chicago? Play.
Times Square. NYC. And, man, what a freaking vibe in that place and his band. Like, I got to play some really tight cats there. And right. I didn't even know when I was there that it was going to be shut down, you know? Wow. But then I was like, can't wait to go back.
You shut it down.
Yeah, and that was it. That's what I heard about, like, the Viper, too. That made me sad when we played there.
They were is that closing?
Yeah, he was like, yeah, it's going to be like a condo or something.
Yeah, they've been saying that for years.
Yeah, yeah, that's what they've been
saying. This is supposed to be demolished, too, but I don't know.
We're still rocking.
We're still rocking. Yeah, exactly. I don't know, it could happen, but I don't know. And by the way, you did play the Viper Room, and I'm assuming that's the first time you were there.
Yeah, it was fucking great, man.
Because everybody takes to the Viper Room, and I was telling our producer today because she just moved here. As a spectator, I think as a band it's really cool because everybody's right up there, but as a spectator it's always like this is it. Like people I take to the Whiskey and the Rainbow and the Roxy. There's history and there's a little space.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Viper Room is so small.
Oh yeah, it's the Grundle Dungeon. That's what I was calling it, dude.
Right. Yeah. So I think as a band, it's great to play.
Yeah.
Especially if you're used to like playing stadiums, and call it, you know, like you know the big bands when they play the Viper Room, it's great. But when you just take somebody like, oh, I've always wanted to go to the Viper Room, it's like, okay, it's gonna be like a dumpy, real small bar, and then you go in there, it's a dumpy, real small bar. Like this is it.
You mean the standing room too?
But you're playing historic venues here in LA already.
Man, it was great. I mean, it was a great experience. You're just standing with your guitar in like the middle of sunset, and they open this door, and he's like, "All right, come on in." And you just like get on, and you just plug in, and everyone's just like, "Yeah." And it's just like it's a fun experience.
And you were on the stage that I mean, geez, you know, Johnny Cash was on.
Really?
On the Viper,
Johnny Cash
on the Viper Room? Yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah. No, when he first came back. Like, they did, like, a whole thing of concerts for the Viper Room.
I didn't know that, though.
Yeah, and when the Viper Room opened up, I mean, they've had everybody play there. You know, just, I'm trying to think. I mean, if you, especially in the mid-90s, it was the place to play. I used to go there all the time. This is going to get to the Guns N' Roses connection, but.
Sweet.
Duff and Matt used to have a band with John Taylor from Duran Duran.
Really?
And Steve Jones from the Sex Pistols.
Oh, dude. Fuck.
And they used to play the Viper Room all the time.
Really?
Yeah. I know Billy Idol's played there. I know, like, fucking everybody's. I mean, there's a lot of live albums at the Viper Room. And the sound's good. It's just, it's always like, it's just, I'm always just, you know, just smushed between a bunch of people and, like, sweating. And I don't know. I just, trying to think, But as a musician, it's got to be great though.
The sound was awesome, man.
Oh, first time I went there. First time I went there, Primal Scream.
Why does that sound familiar?
Primal Scream is an English band, but they're like, well, because I have some friends that used to play there. It was like a regular house band. Like, oh, there's a special guest coming, and it was Primal Scream from England, and they jumped up and they were like in the they had a whole '90s thing where they had like all these rock bands that would like kind of play funky.
Okay.
Like Happy Monday, Stone Roses, and they were kind of in that scene.
Stone Roses is fucking awesome.
But they kind of transcended it, and they were kind of going through like a rock phase.
Okay.
And then they kind of went to they've done all sorts of things. So anyway, so like the first time I was there, I was like, it's great that Primal Scream's here, but I just can't move and I can't. But whatever. Anyway, I digress. So you're into the real blues.
Yeah.
You go beyond just like Stevie Ray Vaughan. You go
Stevie Ray Sean John.
Well, Stevie Ray Vaughan's great.
He's the fucking man.
But you hear like some of these blues players, you're like, they never went beyond it.
Yeah.
Like they just did Stevie Ray Vaughan's like, okay, that's it. Like they never heard
Enjoy.
Never heard of Robert Johnson. They never heard of Mississippi John Hurt.
Is metal as fuck.
It really is. They never heard John Lee Hooker. They never heard these guys.
Yeah, dude. Muddy Waters.
Johnny Winter, any of these guys.
Johnny Winter, they're fucking hardcore.
Yeah.
Another dude who played until he fucking croaked, Johnny Winter.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and that guy was hardcore. That was that's an albino playing blue. You know Johnny Winter?
No.
Albino, yeah. Totally albino.
You got to excuse me, too.
I got to write down all these blues artists
for you. And you do have to excuse me because I did grow up in the backwoods of fucking Alaska, you know? So
my dad's a blues guy. That's one thing that we, like, bonded over. We used to go to like blues shows and we listened to blues stuff and we really bonded over that. I guess we were both really morose motherfuckers, but we just love the blues. We love blues music.
Yeah, introduce it to me. I'm definitely down.
Buddy Guy, Johnny Winter, John Lee Hooker. This guy knows better than I do. He's probably played with all of them.
I think you guys have like a good like little connection here.
What's the blues?
Yeah.
We're talking about the blues.
It's fun to listen to.
Right. Well, I mean, some of it is, some of it is. Some of it's pretty like.
No, I'm saying your conversation.
Right. You know, and so I just wanted to see how that, because I'll be honest, and you tell me, because you're a guitar player, and this is my opinion, and I'm going on so many tangents these last 2 weeks. I don't know. they keep saying that like John Mayer is a great guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a good guitar player. I don't think he's great. I listen to a lot of guys like him, and to me, he's okay, but I don't get the real blues from him. Do you agree with me on that?
That's a hard one, bro.
I think he's a really good singer-songwriter, and he's good at what he does.
Yeah.
As a guitar player, I remember I saw him on the Grammy Awards. He played with Gary Clark Jr.
Yeah, I missed that. That sounds good, though.
Gary Clark Jr. was fucking shredding.
I love Gary.
Oh, he was amazing. Gary Clark Jr.
I love Gary.
And John Mayer was doing it, but it wasn't the same. It was kind of lame. And I could tell he's schooled. He knows what he's doing. He studies Stevie Ray Vaughan, but I don't think...
He has Stevie Ray Vaughan's guitar tech.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah.
The same rig.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure he does, but I don't get the blues from him.
Yeah, dude, you fucking nailed it, man. Like, he, like, went to Berkeley and shit and fucking kicks ass and music and knows all his chords, but yeah, it just doesn't give me the eggplant emoji.
Right. But well, as a singer-songwriter, I can see why people like his music. Not a bad, he's a talented guy.
Exactly.
And a talented guitarist, but not a great guitarist. You know, to me. You know who's great? Speaking of blues guitars, another blues guitarist, Jeff Healey.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck, dude. Robert Randolph, fucking great. These are more modern guys. I'm going to write this all down for you.
I've heard the names, some of the names, yeah.
Jeff Healey was blind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he plays guitar like weird, like
upset. That's fucking trippy.
Instead of bending the notes like this, he would bend them like that. And amazing. And the guy passed away and people forget him.
Yeah, that's trippy.
Except he was in Roadhouse. He was
in Roadhouse.
But if you, that first album he put out was amazing. Dude, that's a player.
Yeah, Jeff Healey.
I mean, you know, you know, that's the other thing, like, you know. But you say you have respect for, you know, Joe Bonamassa and Derek Trucks and people like that. And I think they're good. I think they're good. But there's some people that just, like, say, give me the black emojis. Like, like, you're like, those guys are good. And say Jeff Healey, you're like, Robert Randall, Gary Clark,
Warren Haynes.
Yeah.
Warren Haynes, I like him. Exactly. Like Government Mule.
Exactly. We're going to write all these down. So, and it's, I'm glad that you segued for me about the Berkeley thing.
Yeah.
Because you went to Berklee School of Music.
Yeah.
You are a study guy. Did you know this?
Yes, I did know that. I did know that.
He told you that.
No, I creeped on it.
You creeped on
the social media and found that out.
Yeah. So how was that? And where was that?
Dude, oh, Boston.
Boston. Okay.
Yeah. And, you know.
Why is it Berklee if it's in Boston?
Yeah. You know what? It's just because these dudes, Lee, Burke, two dudes, they like made Berklee. You know, I looked it up myself because I was like, what the fuck, after a while, too.
Yeah.
But different from the EY, you know, like Cali.
Right.
But, dude, it's just like, you know, it just didn't really seem like anything at the time, but, like, it just follows you forever. I only went there for 2 years because I was like, all right, I'm cool. I'm ready to work for a label and start teaching and do my own thing and my own music. So I went there for 2 years, but it's just like, it just seems so mundane and unspecial, but, like, dude, it's like the magic keeps paying off. That's the thing.
But also the discipline.
And the discipline, because I didn't know, like, all that stuff. Like, I started to understand it more once I repeated it, like, 10,000 times.
Right.
And I was like, that's what that fucker was saying.
Right.
And I wasn't really understanding. And, you know, like, my boy Joe Stump, who's my mentor, like, he comes out to the Rainbow because he's in Alcatraz now with Graham Bonnet. So, like, we
Alcatraz, the Steve Vai,
Angry Mob scene. Yeah, exactly, because he's like an Yngwie fucking shredder.
So he's got to do all those licks that Yngwie and Steve Vai did.
Yeah, dude.
And that's not easy.
Yeah, dude. He's fucking cleaner than Yngwie, honestly, man.
Really?
He shreds so hard.
Yngwie's pretty clean.
Yeah.
You know Yngwie.
Mm-mm.
You don't know Yngwie Malmsteen?
I don't.
You're into metal and you don't know Yngwie Malmsteen?
I don't know who he is.
Yngwie Malmsteen.
I'm not a fan. I don't know.
Yngwie Malmsteen is like, no. Yngwie Malmsteen is like, even non-metal people know this guy. He came out in the 80s. Like,
okay, again, in the 80s, I was in.
I know, I understand. But he's still popular, especially in Europe.
Right, like, but I'm not in Europe.
But
so
you remember,
excuse
like.
Excuse me.
But I mean. You've heard like Van Halen was the fastest, and you know Steve Vai. People are like, oh, he's faster. This guy's faster.
I'll check it out. But I didn't grow up like other people, so I grew up like with no electricity sometimes, and living on a float house in the middle of Alaska. So
anyway,
please excuse me, audience.
All right, so we'll hook you up with all these blues names. And Yngwie Malmsteen. I guarantee your grandpa has no idea who Yngwie Malmsteen was. The funniest thing about Yngwie Malmsteen was I read that when they were. Replacing guitarist in Perfect Circle, they were considering Yngwie Malmsteen.
What?
Yeah.
He's like, yo, play this ethereal fucking delay piece,
dude.
It's like, what?
Like the dude, like the guy who's the main guy, the guitar player, was like, I think he wanted him, and Maynard's like, I don't think so.
Oh, Maynard, fucking the cartwheel.
Or there was something, or there was some money issue. I don't know. But
that's ridiculous.
How crazy would that have been?
Yeah, dude, like that story, like Van Halen, EVH was like, yo, man, Sammy Hagar's out. I'm getting my boy Chris Cornell. And it's like, dude.
Really?
Yeah, so it's like, how are you going to do like songs that are like so deep to like, I got my toes in the sand and all I need is
but
the woman.
But you know what? I could see that sort of because he does have that high range like
he
Sammy
does.
Hagar.
He really does.
Like he wouldn't be good on the and then when Gary Cherone came in. He sang
they got
like
Gary
that,
instead, yeah.
But he sang in that high range, which was annoying.
Yeah.
That wasn't like his natural voice.
Yeah.
We're talking Van Halen.
Yeah.
You heard of them,
yeah.
right?
Yes. Okay. Anyway, I've heard of Van Halen.
Right.
VH.
I didn't know he was trying to get Chris Cornell. That would have been weird.
Dude. Crazy.
But I mean, honestly, I mean he's better, but the high voice with Hagar is kind of similar. Yeah, that's not that big a stretch. Anyway, we're talking, fantasy bands. Anyway, let me translate all that from metal to our audience. Your friend and mentor is in a band called Alcatraz.
Yeah, yeah.
That Steve Vai and Yngwie, you know Steve Vai, right?
Mm.
And Yngwie Malmsteen were in, two of the fastest guitar players ever in the world. So to replicate that, he's got to be amazing. And you're saying he's faster
he's
cleaner than
them.
The guy... That's supposed to be the fastest and cleanest guitar
player
in the world.
Exactly. He's fucking smokes him. He's like way more laid back and chill and like has like way more like just like down the earth. Like we'll just buy you beers or in my case like water. You know what I mean? He'll just be like,
Wow. I'll have to come down and have him buy me a beer. That's great.
Yeah. He'll be back.
I didn't know they were still around Alcatraz.
Yeah, dude. This is their comeback, man. They're going to kill it.
I guess so. Now, how far did you go into the shredding? Because I know you're into the blues.
Dude, not far, man. Yeah. Like, fucking Dimebag, which is, like, slow compared to, like, a Tosin Abasi, who's, like, changing chord every second.
Right. I mean, because when you're in Berkeley, I don't know, because you were in Berkeley later, but I remember, when I was, people I know from Berkeley or that go to Musicians Institute, people like that, they're shredders. So you can shred?
I try to.
Yeah?
Like, more, slower, like I said, like a Zach Wilde, more than a
like you can do it, but you don't show off. You if it's appropriate, you do it. But
yeah, because it's like I don't get into like the technical like Paul Gilbert.
Right, like if you know, like if they offer you to get for Alcatraz, could you do it?
I don't know about that because that's just like neoclassical, you know.
Right,
I'm just like more about laying into the groove, like Sabbath and Thin Lizzy, and you know. I was in a Maiden tribute band.
Okay, so you get
a
little bit.
Yeah,
so,
a little bit of shred.
So, okay, so, you're in Berkeley.
Yeah.
The number one, or if not the number one, the top two places to study to be a musician. What is your curriculum for a day? What do you do?
So
now,
like,
you guys are musicians, so you wake up at noon.
You wake up. You just, like, get blasted on weed. And then you go to ear training, which is, like, tough as fuck because you have to conduct and do solfege while sight reading at the same time, which really kicked my ass.
And I'm kidding about that. You're probably the first class is 8 or 9 in the morning, right?
Yep. Okay. So you just go right into there. And well, first you have to shit yourself because Aramark did the cafeteria, so they put like laxatives in there that like fucking make you blow your ass out.
Did they really?
Yeah, because they don't like cook the meat all the way, and then they put laxatives in there, some kind of thing. Makes you just blast your ass. Dude, I started this page. It's not on Facebook anymore. It got taken down, but it's called like the Berkeley Blast, or like I love Berkeley Blasting. Because everyone knew what I was talking about. Okay. I was like, dude, don't you feel
all
like,
these big musicians like, and John Mayer, and they all
they all
had the same diarrhea.
Themselves.
Yeah.
Like,
okay, so
Charmin is their
name. Is that supposed to like wake you up? Or
yeah, I guess you're so fucking pumped, you're emptied and light. Yeah, you know, you're light on your toes,
right?
And then you're doing your like your ear training and harmony classes.
Now you're doing ranging. That. This is what I'm curious about, because I see classical conductors. I don't know what the fuck they're doing. What are they doing?
Dude, they're just doing like a 3D representation of the riff. It's fucking trippy as hell. So they're just like playing the riff, and then there's like a change
so
in the time signature.
It's not just like random, like...
Like they'll do like a cross when they're in 4-4, and then if they're like Dream Theater as fuck, then they're like triangle 3, you know what I mean? They're just like changing it up.
Now, when you see like Gustavo Dudamel or one of these guys that conducts an orchestra, you know what they're doing?
I mean, I try to keep up. It's just like you can understand some shit, but it's like, you know, I respect those guys a lot more, but it's like I apply all that jazz and crazy arranging theory to like rock stuff.
Well, you probably looked at them before you went there, like, yeah, what a bunch of jerk-offs just fucking waving a baton, and now you know what they were doing.
You know what, dude? I think so.
Yeah.
I didn't think about it like that, but now it's like, yeah, you do have more appreciation. It's not just fucking dancing.
Yeah, I thought it's like, okay, I'm just kind of right, here's the tempo and then bam, and I just thought it was like that, but there's something to it, I guess.
That guy's just waving a stick around.
Okay, so you do the composing and the musical appreciation, then what's the next
Man, so you got all that like hard ass shit. Once that's out of the way, you're like, all right, you know, you got to hit the bong again and then go blast off for lunch. So you're just like, all right, I'm ready.
Right.
And then now the classes start to get better. So
maybe if it's a really bad day, you don't hit the bong, so then you can skip lunch.
Yeah, dude. Sometimes you would have to, or just like, you know, just do whatever you can.
Right. Okay. So after lunch.
Yeah. So I'll be like, okay, schedule's getting more fun. So now we're going to Shred Lab with Joe Stump, the Alcatraz Cat.
Right. Okay.
Jeff Beck Lab, Jimi Hendrix. Like Guitar Effects Lab.
Okay.
So like the dude that owns Moog or Mr. Moog, he comes in. He's like, "Listen, fucker, you show me how to like turn the knobs and on all the effects."
That's wild, man.
And we're just like fuck around with every effect,
right?
And it's just like so. Pro Music was what was like my degree thing or whatever program.
Yeah.
And I was like, you get to pick what you want to do. So I was like, this pertains to my path.
Right.
I want to do these certain things.
Right.
And yeah,
learn how to do Pro Tools. You learn how to do
recording, music therapy, teaching, and
music
all that
therapy.
Shit. Yeah, yeah. People just go in and they just like play music for people. It just like heals them.
Oh wow! After diarrhea, I would imagine you need it.
Oh dude, you're just like oh.
Anyway, Hannah wants to get off the subject. I can see
the sound effects are killing me.
That's not for me. He's the one over there. But any other superstar teachers besides the Moog and?
My teacher for guitar ensemble was guitarist from Supertramp.
Okay.
Mike Mangini.
Right.
From Dream Theater.
Right.
Dude, everybody like did something. Some dude gave the band Extreme their name, and he was the music business teacher. He's like, "Listen, I manage these fuckers." I was like,
"Right."
Listen, Fox has a new TV show called Dreams. That's fucking confusing to fucking viewers and shit. So you guys are going to be like, they're like, all right, then we're X Dreams. And they're like, no, that doesn't make sense. You guys are Extreme, you know? And then he like, you know, so it's like all these dudes are telling you shit. Like you believe them because they're like, they did it. Real stuff.
Right.
You know?
But I got to be honest, nothing against the band. Extreme was probably one of the worst band names I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Like it's too generic.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the guy knows what he's doing. I'm sure he's named other bands. And honestly, you've referenced Dream Theater about five times. I've heard of them.
Yeah.
I've never heard one of their songs.
I don't know why that's. I gotta check them out. Head.
No, no, but I mean, every musician I know like worships them.
They're dope.
But yeah, anybody that's not a musician I've never heard of them. I don't know who they are.
It's just kind of like, it's just like a good thing to say to be like, yeah, Dream Theater. You know what I mean?
Every classified ad, they're like, yeah, we're kind of like Metallica, Megadeth. Dream Theater. We're kind of like The Cure, Depeche, Dream Theater.
Oh.
We're kind of like U2, The Police, Dream Theater. We're kind of like, yeah.
Yeah, you could do a whole podcast episode on just Craigslist ads in Hollywood, bro.
Yeah.
For music and shit.
Yeah, we're like One Direction, Miley Cyrus, Dream Theater. Like, everybody throws the Dream Theater in there.
Yeah.
But you like Dream Theater.
Yeah, I mean, you know, doesn't give me the eggplant. You know what I mean?
Does it give you half an eggplant?
No, I mean, they're just, like, so technical.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I enjoy it, you know, but you got to be in a certain mood.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can't be, like, fucking blasting that shit down the strip.
Right. So, anyway.
It's like fucking math. People are going to start busting out their calculators instead of headbanging, dude.
But then it's come around because
it's great, though.
You teach at the School of Rock.
Yeah.
Like, is that in L.A.?
Yeah, I'm at the Burbank location right now and Woodland Hills.
How many schools of rock are there?
Shit, man. The first one was in Philly, and now it's like got to be over 200 worldwide.
So you were in the original, like the Jack Black?
Yeah, man. Back School of Rock? Day. Yeah. This dude,
I've never seen the movie. I wish I did. I wish I prepared.
Oh, it's actually cute.
Yeah, I heard.
Yeah.
Yeah, like there's this movie called like Rock School that came out like a year.
Documentary.
Yeah, yeah. Paul Green, that crazy dude that started all School Rock in Philly and stuff. And yeah, dude, it's a great gig because I got to like, you know, teach a lot of different people, like people from the Philadelphia Eagles, and now I teach Scotty and Son. And
oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. It's
you
cool.
teach Scotty and Son?
Yeah, so I'm like talking to him every week, like, yeah, we worked on the pentatonic scale. Right. And
Scotty and from Anthrax.
The fifth fret. Okay.
Thanks
and,
for that.
Yeah,
he hooked us up with a gig for the Whiskey May 1st. We're supporting his new band, Damned Things.
Oh, that's great. I'll have to check that out. Yeah. But before I want to get more into the School of Rock, but Berkeley,
yeah.
This is very timely. This is going to be a very up to date reference. How did you pay for that?
Oh, dude,
is your mom Felicity Huffman? Like, what happened? is Uncle Aunt Becky from
Full House?
Yeah,
dude. Here's the thing, man. I got freaking lucky because number one, dude, I only went there for 2 years, got a shitload of financial aid,
okay.
So it didn't linger for that long. The debt,
so student loans, yeah.
Dude, it didn't linger.
So you're a working class guy. You got some loans, you got some grants.
But yeah, you know, but now it's like that stuff is like all worn off by now. You know what I mean? Like, not like my other buddies are still like 200K in debt.
Right.
Like, it's over. Wow. That's over for me. I'm just like into the next thing. Cause I left when everyone was like the market started to collapse. I was like, huh, this shit is fucking weird. It's like a different time. Shit feels different. I just want to play music. Like, you know what I mean? I don't want to overanalyze all this shit. You know, I just want to fucking rock. So everyone else just kept going with the Berkeley. You know what I mean? And they don't even fucking use it. And I still tell everybody that I went there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I only went there for 2 years because it's like,
who knows? Yeah.
It was dope. It was awesome. And I have an alumni email, an alumni card because you go there for that long, you're an alumni, so
why not? So it's 2 years is all you really need.
I was just like, you know, the school thing, man, even though ironically I'm a teacher, it just wasn't for me.
I know, don't tell your students that
though. Yeah, they're listening. Just
don't
like,
tell Scott Ian he's wasting his money having his son take her guitar lessons.
He shreds like a beast, man.
I'm sure.
He shreds.
It's in the genes.
He comes in there. He's 7 and a half. He just is like.
He's 7 and a half.
Yeah, he just has his dad's like custom shop Jackson V, and he's just like playing Wasted Years that he figured out by ear.
Wow.
Yeah, he's the man.
Well, yeah, I mean, and his mom, her dad was Meatloaf.
Yeah, dude.
So that's all in the family.
Yeah.
And
good times.
Yeah, that's good. He's probably he's probably gonna be rebel and maybe become something else.
Yeah.
He'll be a politician or something.
Yeah.
But I noticed that, and we have something in common, which you may not be aware of, but we're both left-handed, I think.
Yeah.
I'm left-handed. Satanic, I don't know what you
Satanic hand, bro.
Yeah, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Is that right-handed? Because you're the expert.
Satanic hand. That's actually the first time I've ever heard it.
Well, it's only 10%. We're quite the minority. So
I didn't even notice. I didn't notice that. I thought I would have picked that up last night.
But he was playing a left-handed guitar.
Well, I was upstairs, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, wow. Well,
because I just saw a picture of him with the left-handed.
Well, I sent you videos too.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. I saw him.
Yeah. You said picture.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, left-handed.
No, I mean, every picture you
wrong-handed.
It's either flopped or it's a left-handed. Let's pause. So.
Yeah.
Because I have a confession to make. Because I actually took guitar lessons. Obviously didn't work
out.
You
shred, bro?
No, I do not shred. I kind of figured out the opening chords of Smoke in the Water myself.
And sweet riff.
I went to like the guitar teacher. I'm like, yeah, I want to play like Van Halen like in now. And he's like, no.
Tapping.
Yeah, he's like, here's how to play on top of Old Smokey. I'm like, I don't know about that. So I had a strat. I fucked around. A Squire strat.
I had a Squire.
Yeah, so I fucked around with it.
Fuck yeah.
But, yeah, so where was I going then? But it was weird because I was like left-handed, and you know, to get a left-hand guitar versus a right-hand guitar was like, so I went with the right-handed guitar. But no wonder you have an affinity for Hendrix because he was lefty.
Dude, yeah, man. Definitely.
So did you? I mean, did you start with a left-handed guitar? How did you do it?
My bro had a righty,
yeah,
and I would just play it upside down.
Wow.
And, oh, okay.
My parents were like, yo, he's serious. Let's get a lefty.
Okay.
And then just like rode out that Squire for a long time until it was like Fender time
so,
and then Les
so
Paul
we,
time.
So we all had Squires at one
point.
Yeah, we did. Squire Club.
It was like $100. You know?
I know.
Yeah, I got mine from a pawn shop and it was tiny just like me.
So. Yeah. So how much did you learn to play?
It took me like 20 minutes to learn Smoke on the Water. So I figured, oh, I better try the bass and, you know. But that was my first.
Can you play bass?
Not anymore. Cause it's been about 10 years. Okay. But I started with classical flute in grade school.
Right. Yeah. We all started with the recorders.
No, it wasn't recorder. It was actual the flute. I was in band.
Oh, okay.
Jethro Tull.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, my mom, she'd be like hammered, and I'd be practicing "Twinkle Twinkle Little Star," and she'd like, "Play me Jethro Tull. Get out of here."
Whoa.
All right.
Aqualung.
Yeah.
Thick as a brick.
I had no idea what I was doing with that.
Right. So, was it more of a challenge playing left-handed or learning left-handed? Or
it's like I like looking at right-handed people, though. I don't like looking at left-handed people.
So when you see like Kurt Cobain or
I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, it just looks.
Yeah, I'm just like, fuck. It's off. It's fucked up. I'm just like looking at right-handed people because it's a mirror of what I'm doing.
Right.
That's why I like it. You know what I mean? But when I see a lefty person, I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with
you? Because, you know, there was some, I mean, I'm trying to think of, I'm blanking, but I know Bob Dylan, for one, is left-handed, but plays right.
Joe Perry.
Joe Perry, too. Yeah. And were you ever tempted to go righty?
I tried fucking hard. I was like, come on, I'm gonna try this shit now.
Yeah. You know, and I can't stand? I don't mind watching left-handed guitars. And I do it myself, and that's why maybe it's just a self-loathing thing. I hate watching people do left-handed air guitar.
Any air guitar is terrible.
No, but like you know who used to do it all the time was Jay Leno used to do like,
yeah.
And you're like you look like a fucking asshole. But if he did it right-handed, it's like okay, you don't look that bad.
Air guitar.
Yeah, and he's like the worst
righty.
Air guitarist of all
it's
time.
Gotta
you know?
Be righty. Wow.
Right. Yeah.
That's not right.
Yeah. Especially towards the end, like they try to hip it up and have like really good bands on the show, and like, you know, Smashing Pumpkins were on. And he's like the lefty guitar.
Oh,
and you're like,
no!
Oh, you're terrible. It's terrible. It's just terrible. So you start. You form your first band in Philly.
Oh man!
Or Chicago,
yeah.
Or what did you do,
dude? Man, Philly and
how's the Philly metal scene? How is that,
dude? There's people that fucking love it, man. It's just like I don't think they want to like. Love each other and fucking like bring it together, man.
Right.
People love metal everywhere. You know what I mean? Everywhere. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that I got lucky. I was always just playing for different people's bands, but I always wanted to like do my own music, my own thing, fast ride. But that never happened until Slash, I opened for him and he gave me like a distribution deal and that lefty Les Paul and a bunch of other gear and started me on my journey.
Okay. You have to back up here. There's more to this story.
Yeah, man. There was like a competition.
You're like, yeah, you know,
man.
I was just hanging out with Slash. And
yep.
Slash from Guns N' Roses, obviously.
Yeah.
Who said, you have as much potential as anybody's he's seen. So you entered a contest that he hosted?
We were just like, fuck it, man. Like, we need to do something with our lives. So we just, like, tried it out. And it was kind of like you got to, like, build up your social media. So, like, the more fans you get on every platform is, like, a vote, I guess. So we ended up getting, like, 500 votes in, like, a week or something. So, like, oh, man, dude, we did pretty good. But then there's this other band that I used to, you know, work for or be in. And they're just like, oh, no, dude, fuck this. We're getting malware bots. And then they had like 200,000 votes.
Right, I need to get those.
And I was like, we are fucking smoked, dude. Yeah, yeah. Fuck it, dude. We're just going to have to fucking whack our puds and go home.
Right.
And then they were just like, we got an email being like, oh, slash, there's like a small print. If he likes your band, he can just like override the votes. Like, so come and like open for him at the House of Blues. So, like, yeah, we played with them and chilled with them. It was a bomb.
Chicago or Philly?
Atlantic City, actually.
Atlantic City House of Blues.
It got fucking demolished, yeah.
You opened for Slash's band.
Yeah, man.
Now, how did your band get that over all the other bands?
Dude, we just, like, put together this song. Our buddy helped us write, this dude from Bad Brains, Chuck Trees.
Once again, you're these names, you're, like, just throwing out like they're nothing. Bad Brains, like the DC hardcore punk boot.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
I've heard of them, Mark.
Okay, yeah.
You're giving me the look.
Right. Who's the one I couldn't believe? You were the English Malmsteen, I didn't believe. But, yeah, Buddy Guy, I thought people knew him, too. Oh, Johnny, anyway, I got to write this
down. I'm good with faces. I'm really bad with names.
Right. That's so true. So, you knew one of the guys from Bad Brains?
Yeah, and he's just like one of the coolest dudes, Chuck Trees. He is all about, he's like the one shining light in Philly where he's all about bringing everybody together and just being that common thread, every genre, metal to reggae, everything. Right, right. And he was
Which is what the band was.
Yeah, dude. And like he fucking created like FDR Park, which was like Level and Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, where it was like, they took the underneath of I-95 and made it into like a big concrete bowl, right. Skateboarders, and he would like play with his band in the middle. Bam Margera built it out, fucking massive.
Oh, that's right, he's from Philly too. So you hang out and party with him too.
Oh, dude, what a fucking mess. Right. I think he's good though now, right?
We'll go back to Bam. So
yeah.
So the guy from Bad Brains helped you get on the thing with Slash.
Yeah, Chuck Trees is the man. Helped Chuck us Trees. Write a single.
Oh, okay. So he wrote the song with
and then
you.
We did a music video. And didn't want any credit at all. Right. Just wanted us to do good.
That's crazy. There's a band that inspired everybody, never got the credit, never got the money, and he's still trying to help people.
Yeah, that's all he wants to
do. Yeah, like, you know.
Yeah, his kids play music too. He's passing it on. He has like a jam space where everyone comes through, eats food and jams, and it's a community.
Now, were you fans of Bad Brains and Guns N' Roses?
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Slash is like my main influence. And then I got HR, I would see him. He played Dobbs, RIP. Dobbs was like the Viper Room of Philly.
Yeah.
Nirvana started there when they were like two guitar player pre-Dave Grohl.
Right.
Tool played there in 91. It's on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Their full set.
Right.
Fucking... That place had vibes.
And you played
for
there?
Days. Oh, dude, we were like the fucking house band there. We would like play with like everybody. Cinderella.
Cinderella's
were our
Philly.
Boys. Those were our boys. Jeff Labar would help me fucking load my gear in the rain. And his son played in the band and is in Tantric now, so we're still friends.
Oh, wow.
And the bass player's in Tantric now, so we split up. I did Fast Ride, Tantric's the
other
half.
Oh, so Tantric was your first band?
Yeah, well, we were Mach 22. And then we split up into like all these other different things, which is another beautiful thing because it's like Mach 22 still goes. My student plays my riffs and like my shit and that thing. So he keeps going. I'm like, dude, take it, bro, go. And then like, you know, then you got Tantric. The other half broke off over there. So it's like then you got Fast Ride.
Right.
So it's like music should be like that.
Because I think
like
I saw some quote from Tom Kiefer about you guys.
Yeah, that's our boy, man.
Yeah.
Love him.
Yeah.
No, he's a good cat.
Yeah, yeah. And blues influenced himself.
Yeah, totally.
Interesting. Interesting note. If you ever run into him again, another record store story. I just on a whim played Long Cold Winter.
Fuck yeah!
It came in. I was like, hey, I'm gonna play this. And this guy, older guy, he had to be in his 60s.
Yeah.
Big blues fan. Like would just look for blues records. It's like, who? What is this? Like it was a title track.
Yeah.
Like it's Cinderella. I'm like, the rest of it doesn't sound like this. I don't give a shit. This song is great.
That's bad fucking and he bought ass.
It. And he bought it. So there you go. So pass that along to Tom.
I love that, dude. That's a great story.
Yeah. It was a great job. It paid nothing, but it was so great. I've already told the story about how I played Vanilla Ice's second album. People loved it. But but then when I told it was Vanilla Ice, they're like, oh, it sucks.
What?
Yeah. So anyway, I digress. So you had to be, obviously you were shitting yourself at Berkeley. You had to be shitting yourself opening up for Slash in Atlantic City with everything on the line.
Yeah, man. Definitely need a pair of Depends for that.
Right.
Big time.
And you passed the test.
Yep.
And you definitely. How much interaction did you get with Slash?
Dude, we like sound checked together and then like hung out after. And like I couldn't have done it too without the support of my buddy Owen, who played for the Philadelphia Eagles, because he like gave me his F-150 and all this stuff to go drive there. Oh, my van exploded. So it's like, he's just like, yo, here's a bunch of weed and the keys, fucking go own this shit, motherfucker.
That's great.
And then we just fucking boom, 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 just got it done. It was a good, it was a good one.
You're like Ferris Bueller.
Oh, I love
like
that
the
movie.
Blues guys, the metal guys, the punk guys, the jocks, they don't like you.
Oh,
that's
man,
a good comparison.
It's true.
That's good.
Like you're like, yeah, and like the whole world revolves around you.
It's a great movie.
And that's great. So Slash gave you the okay, and you played Les Paul, so I'm sure he noticed that.
Yeah, he's the man.
Yeah, he seems pretty. Seems pretty low key. I mean, I've been in the same room as him, but I've never actually talked to the guy. I just always just feel weird sometimes, just like the. You know, just coming up to a guy, but
super low key and like unassuming. You right. know, like we just ran into each other like 3 a.m.
Because I know Steven Adler and
He's a fucking beast, man. I chose with him a couple times. Oh yeah, he's a fucking beast.
He's a hugger.
Yeah, yeah.
Get over here, bro. Always is like, dude, come on, whether he's driving or not. Having him walk in a straight line is probably challenging. Put him behind a drum kit, he's amazing.
Oh, it kills it, dude.
Still, it's weird. Like, his eyes are rolling in his head, and he's behind a drum kit and just knows everything. It's got locked. You hung out with Steven, right?
No, I've never hung out with him. I've seen him in person, but I kind of stayed in my area.
No, I've hung out with him. He's not super nice guy. It's just sometimes overly nice. Mm-hmm. Like one of these people that like, just wants a hug and be on you, like... And you're like, to a point where you're like, this is kind of weird. I don't know you that well, but okay. Yeah. For another record store story.
Oh, fuck it. Which record store? Amoeba? Where do you go?
No, it was an independent store in North Hollywood, actually. Cool. It's called Auditory Odyssey.
Okay.
And they had a video and record store, and then next door they had a head shop. And he came in, and he just, this is when he was really, really doing pretty bad. Stunk. Mm. Just... look horrible. He's look like a homeless guy coming in. He's like, dude, where are the bongs? I'm like, no, those are next door. And I noticed like, and I'm looking at the guy. I'm like, and I told my friend at work. I'm like, that guy's really working hard for that Steven Adler look. He's like, that is Steven Adler.
Wow.
And then he came back, and I saw the Guns N' Roses tattoo on his arm. And then I hooked up when I lived in Vegas. Then we became friendly, and I told him the story, and it just nice guy. So, speaking of that, and boy, we're almost out of time.
Yeah, you guys are having like a great like ride right now.
I know, but what took you to LA?
Dude, my boy Mike LeCompte and Ed Bassmaster.
Right.
Yeah, man. Like
that makes no sense.
Go ahead. Dude, it's my yin and yang because it's like, yo, my. Like musical side or like my soul side was like Mike LeCompte, this legend who's in this band Tangier, okay. And Pamela.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, Pamela Anderson had her debut on film and their music video.
Okay.
Headbangers Ball.
Okay.
And dude, he lives in Philly and just took me from playing in front of 25 people to 5,000 people in a festival.
Wow.
Just in one day because he's like, listen, motherfucker, you shred, get the fuck out of this shitty bar. And then just like
God, I wish somebody would tell that to me when I'm doing comedy.
One day you will.
Yeah. Anyways, So.
So yeah, he did the one side, and the Ed Bassmaster, who's like, he's like the first ever YouTube prankster.
Yeah.
Ian Venom.
I thought that sounded familiar.
Like you just look at that.
That guy, yeah.
You just look at that. Yeah. Look at him.
Did you meet him for BAM?
Dude, I just was like, yo, man, I just hit him up on everybody who I ever had a hookup with. I just hit him up in the DMs. I'm like, listen, dude, I will teach you guitar for free. Come over here and I will smoke you out. And just like no answer, just kept it up until he's like, all right, cool, let's go. And then, dude, we were just hanging every fucking day after that. And I produced a bunch of his videos and a bunch of shit like that. So it was awesome.
You think you're here to stay?
Yeah, fuck yeah, man. Yeah.
Well, it's great. You still have the roots there. You can always come back there and chill.
Yeah, exactly, man.
So, but it's great. So you're playing because you played the Whiskey last night. Is that the first time you did that?
First one, yeah.
It's a great stage.
Yeah, man.
I mean, you were on the same stage that Hendrix was on. Led Zeppelin, all those guys, and that I was on last month.
Yeah, really,
you were?
Yeah, I did some comedy before my friend's band last month. But,
really, I like the comedy with the music mix.
Right, well, we'll figure something out.
I like that. Yeah,
but I might have a gig for you too, but we'll talk. It worked out well that when I do it with her. But the thing is, the reason I mention it is. Because I'm a narcissist, but also because it's just amazing just walking on the stage thinking of how many bands, the Germs, X, Van Halen, Motley Crue, everybody, Guns N' Roses, anybody from the history of rock from the Doors on down were on that stage.
That's a mind fuck, dude.
Yeah, it really is.
That is crazy.
I'm glad I didn't tell you before you went on last night.
Yeah, dude.
You seem to be blown away.
Dude, I would have been like,
So, and you'll probably play the Roxy soon. You'll probably.
Dude, I want to, yes.
And you hang out the Rainbow. You find that to be.
Yo!
Yeah, exactly. So.
Yeah, man. Good times.
So that's great. So, where's the time go? One BAM story. BAM Margera. And we're going to have you back on. We're definitely gonna have you back on. I could see you being a regular here.
Sweet.
We gotta get you on. We gotta get you on with a Dominatrix or somebody will tie you up and do fucking big things.
We got a bar right there. So all right, Mark's been tied
to
that.
Sign me up. Let's do it.
So anyway, but BAM Margera story.
Fuck. All right. One BAM Margera story. Okay, dude. I was like fucking this close to driving this fucking Lambo, man. But he ended up getting his buddy, who was even more fucked up, to drive. I don't know how they got home. Basically, we're all chilling at this place called John and Peter's, which is kind of like the Rainbow of the East Coast, where it's like fucking George Thorogood would sleep on the floor upstairs for 3 days in a row, play three sets a day.
That's another blues guy.
And fucking rock.
I know who he is.
Oh, okay.
And the band Ween was formed there. They would play there every fucking day. So, dude, Bam Margera's falling out of his fucking chair.
And by the way, Ween rules. Ween's
dude, my boys, dude.
You got to see him live.
Yeah.
Like, the record doesn't do it.
Doesn't, dude. They are the shit, man. So you can jam with Ween, like, every Wednesday. They host an invitational. I jam the fuck out. Like, every song, dude, maggot brain, fucking 45-minute rendition, you name it, we fucking do it, dude. It's a great place, man.
Right.
So, yeah, dude, so that's a place where you would see Bam just fucking falling over, trying to give people his Lambo keys. Yo, man, I can't fucking drive. I'm just fucking like,
he
just
fucking gives people keys to his Lamborghini.
Yep. And I was like, dude, give me. And then, like, fucking Novak just was like, I was like, Jesus, man, say a prayer for those.
It's amazing that he's alive.
Yeah, man, I'm glad I think he's doing good. He was on TV, rehab or something.
Yeah, cool. That's good. Mm-hmm. So, I'm trying this. One piece of Philly slang I was gonna drop that I forgot.
Oh, John?
Yeah.
It means everything. Yeah.
Like, John.
I know that looks like a term for the toilet, John. I'm gonna use
No, John, like yawn, but John.
Wait, you told me that last night, right?
Yeah. I think I slipped out. I was just like, what's that John?
What's that John over there?
Yeah, exactly.
Could be anything. I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
So this has been a treat, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's been so much fun.
Yeah, it's been fun watching you guys and listening to you.
Well, yeah, you could have popped in anytime. So
I didn't want
to. But I've been writing the list of Buddy Guy, Johnny Winter, Dingley Momsy. Anyway, so we're gonna really get her going on some good blues and some good.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
You know Ween?
Ween?
Yeah.
No.
We gotta get her on Ween too. I saw Ween open for Devo and the Violent Femmes. You want to talk about a fucking great show?
No fucking way.
Ween was amazing. Violent Femmes, even better. And I was like, there's no way Devo could top this.
Yeah.
Came out and just fucking destroyed it.
I love that.
Anyway, not metal, but fucking just an amazing show.
Yeah.
I'll give it a shot.
Anyway, so where Can we see you? Where's the websites? What are the shows coming up? Cool. I know you're going back east and Midwest for a little bit.
Yeah, but... doing some of that Thai Sudagon stuff. I'll get the dates out public for that. But we got the Whiskey with the Fast Ride Band, and that's on May 1st with the Damn Things, direct support. So we're psyched about that.
I definitely want to. If I'm not doing the show myself, I'm definitely there.
Yo!
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, dude, we'll fucking rage.
We're
going to
rage. And you're going to do merch?
If he has me
if
back.
You're free.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, how did the merch sales go last night?
Dude, we're millionaires now.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's because of Hannah.
Oh, yeah, I got a Lambo out front right now.
Yeah.
And how do people get a hold of you?
Oh, thaisudagon.com, and then, you know, Facebook, Twitter. You know, we just started the new Facebook, Instagram.
Right.
I mean, you know, for the Fast Ride, John. So, yeah, we're on all the outlets.
And right.
You can buy our shit at thaisudagon.com.
Right.
T-shirts, music, USB sticks with our EPK and fun shit on there. Pictures of my bum.
Yeah, I'll pass on that. But somebody who might buy it is right here.
Yeah, let me purchase the picture of your bum. Yeah.
Well, is that pre or post Berkeley lunch?
Oh, dude.
Yeah. Nice picture in my marine right now. Thanks.
Hail Hannah Bach.
Yeah,
666.
That's Bach, B-A-K-K. On Instagram. Yes. Please don't add me on Facebook, guys. Quit it.
Oh, really? All the
and
guys
stop
are
stop sliding into my DMs, please. I can't believe I had to make that announcement.
Okay. Were they DMing you how beautiful you are?
Yeah.
I told them to do that last week, if you recall correctly.
No.
I want you to be reminded. And everybody, goth comedian on all social media, rock on, and we'll have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.
Bye, guys.